And so, did you come from North Dakota?
Yes, I was born near Berwick, North Dakota.
Berwick?
Berwick.
How do you spell that?
B-E-R-W-I-C-K.
Okay. Is that down in the Linton-Strasburg area?
No, it's the northwest of Rugby.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Pardon me, southwest.
Southwest, okay, southwest of Rugby. In the geographical center.
Yes.
And had your parents moved from Russia?
My parents, my mother was so, like only 5 years old when she came.
Okay.
And her family came in 1898.
Okay. 1898? From
Odessa, that part.
Okay, from Odessa.
Odessa, whatever it is called.
Oh, that, okay. Okay. All right. And then your dad?
Well, he came only 1907. He was 17 years old, but then he came.
Okay. And was he from the Odessa area?
No, he was from the Strasbourg area, so we had two different dialects.
Is that right?
That's right.
I always forget how to spell Strasbourg. I'll check that. And so he came with the group in 1907. And when were they married?
1912.
Okay. In the Rugby area? Or?
No. Yeah. Well, we lived in what we call the Fulton area. That was just a country church.
Okay.
St. Anselm's Church, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Around the Berwick?
Yeah, that's about
8 miles. Okay. 2 miles
east and 1 mile south.
Okay.
Okay.
And then when were you born?
In August 15, 1917.
Okay. August 15.
Getting up in age. I don't feel like it.
Nah, you don't feel like it. And did you have a big family? Did your mother and father have?
Yes, there were 15 of us.
15? Wow. And were you, what place were you?
Fourth.
You were fourth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, three died and I was quite young, two infants. One was only about 3 days old and one had a crip death, as far as I remember. Mm-hmm. The other one had appendix.
You don't hear about that quite as much.
No, they have much more medication.
I see that you have the list of questions that Michael sent,
yeah.
And you're able to respond to a few of them.
Yes, can you have
I have that, but I think forgot to bring it. So, would you mind sharing that with us? And
sure. She first was, what is her name? Date and. And place where you were born. Well, we had that right. Name of your father in the village in South Russia was Strasbourg. And Dennis Schwan was his name.
Okay. And your mother's name?
My mother's name was Barbara Schwan.
Okay.
Barbara Volk, pardon me.
And V-O-L-K? You learned German, you spoke German.
We spoke German when we were small. But when we came to school, I didn't have any difficulty speaking the English, although we still have a growth.
A little one.
But anyway.
Did you learn English at school then?
I must have known it before, but that no problem, you know your English, see? I don't know, somehow I must have known.
You just kind of fell into it. Did you have neighbors that spoke English, or?
I did, but my grandparents lived in Rugby, and maybe we got acquainted with some people that talked English. I was Scottish. With them, I think probably the younger ones, because they were younger than another one. The younger ones of her family.
I know my dad spoke Norwegian until he went to school.
And some children, even in the 40s when I taught, 47 and 48 in college, there was one youngster who later on when he was growing up asked me when did he ever, whoever taught him English in the first grade. And I had him in the first grade.
Is that right?
So he was always so quiet, I suppose he didn't talk the English language.
Sure.
Yeah, it was 1948.
My dad, that was in the 30s when my dad went to grade school.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's interesting how that is such a strong tradition.
Mm-hmm. You have the name of the villages, huh? And you have a sense of when and where did your dad die, your father. And later on they moved, they were in Canada for a bit, and then they bought a farm north. Northeast of Devil's Lake, and they retired in Devil's Lake. And he died on October 1st, 1964, of a massive heart attack. Devil's Lake, and that's where he's buried.
And your mom?
My mom, I didn't give her. Her birthday is December 3rd, 1973. Did I give you my dad? No. He was born June
1893. Yeah. And December 3rd, 1893, my mother. Okay. And your mother, is she buried in Devil's Lake?
Just a minute, I guess I gave you the wrong date. It was October 15th,
1964?
No, that she died. In 1893 that she was born.
October.
She died in December 3rd, 1973. I guess that was the birthday.
December 3rd.
Oh, yeah, I'll send that.
1973. Okay.
Just how many brothers and sisters are in your family?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to order up their names of their birth.
But do you have that written down?
Yeah.
Okay, if you would, I could just write, transfer that too.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need this afterwards.
Maybe at lunchtime I could copy that.
Give it to you.
Sure.
I'll be in the switchboard where the telephone
Okay.
comes to me.
Okay. Okay, sure. That's a good idea. Okay, and so and your mother is also buried in Devil's Lake.
Yeah. And she had a kind of, it was what it's called, dialect from my dad and whatever, Swabish or whatever it was.
Oh, he spoke Swabish?
Whatever it is, But it wasn't easy to understand either one. See? And then a recollection of what your father told you about the old country. He didn't talk too much, because later on he did to my youngest brother, and my brother said, how come you never told us? He said, well, I thought you weren't interested. But he just talked about the climate in the Black Sea, you know, they had fruit and things like it, stuff like California or something like that, you know. And they were not supposed to be drafted, and that's why he left.
Oh, okay.
Death stops or whatever you call it.
So he fled because of the conscription.
They were not supposed to draft him into the army, they were not supposed to draft.
Yeah, and then they I know that there were some German Russian people that did actually serve in the Russo-China war, or Japan, Russo-Japan war in 1904, 1906, 1907. He would have
probably been there.
He would have been cannon fodder.
And he was only 2 years old when his mother, his father died when he was about two.
Okay.
His mother remarried him, but she never came across.
So his mother remained,
she remarried, I think it was crap. And his brother Anton and his sister Margaret and together. They were older. They stayed with relatives. There were some Schwans and Chris cousins that had come earlier.
And were they, where did they first live then when they came to this country?
Well, they must have moved up there pretty quickly. I think my grandfather, Wolfgang, mm-hmm. and another family, they were around Stolzberg or whatever for a short time,
uh-huh.
but they came pretty early up north to the southwest of Rigby, uh-huh. and settled there. There was a whole group of Germans and people uh-huh. that settled there. Because my grandfather, in 1902, they built a church and he donated the land.
Oh, okay.
So, they must have been there at that time already. See, they must have. It came 1898, according to the one sheet I have.
Mm-hmm. In 1902.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the name of that congregation?
That's St. Anselm's. That's the one.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
St.
Anselm's Church. Yeah. That was the one.
How do you spell Anselm?
A N S E L M.
Mm-hmm. And what is Saint Anselm a saint for? I don't know that.
He was a Benedictine monk.
Oh!
Uh-huh. I think he was a priest too.
And did he have some horrible things befall him? Was he tortured by people or? What did he do to earn sainthood? Saint Anselm?
Oh, I'll
have to look it up. We'll look it up. Okay. I'm always curious about that.
I have never looked it up. I should have.
But he must have been significant to the people from
Yeah, because see, he was a Benedictine, and the Benedictine priest had been out serving the people. That way, I think how that's coming up.
Okay.
Named it Saint Anselm's Church.
We'll have to look that up. You probably have references for that.
Yeah, it was one of the things that
sure is in it. Okay. And how many of your brothers and sisters have chosen a religious life?
Yes, I.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want the name or what we were going to.
Yeah, I'll yes. transfer them.
Uh-huh. I have a nephew that's a Trappist monk.
Oh.
And they have styles.
Yeah. In Winnipeg, or
no? He's in California, Vina, California.
So he's chosen a silent life.
Yeah.
Does he communicate to with letters? And
yeah, he does. But uh-huh. they don't go home very often. There are some there left, but not just tomorrow. He's allowed to. His parents are in Texas because of it during the winter months mm-hmm. because he has such arthritis.
Oh.
Simon, my brother. Anyway, and so he's got allowed to spend a day with them. Tomorrow when he goes to his workshop, he can stop in. Otherwise, they don't go home unless it's very special.
And then when they're at home, will he speak?
Will he what?
Will
oh,
he
yeah. When, as soon as they get visitors, they can.
Okay.
Because I've been out there twice.
Okay. And the monastery is in California?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Lina. That's some, I think it's northeast of Sacramento. Any stories about them? Do you remember family stories? I don't think, yeah.
uh-huh.
Or about the the times when they wished they were back home, and they never told us about it, so they talked to their
adults.
And if you do recall receiving letters from the old country, yes, my dad had a few letters, and they were especially concerned about, you know, things when, must have been when the communists, Bolshevik started, you know.
Yeah, life did change then. Do you know of people that came over during the teens that were your relatives during that Bolshevik revolution?
That's what language you speak at the town, well, German and English, and named the dialect, Elsis, and then another one, I'm not too sure what the other one was.
It's Swedish or
whatever it is.
Kashibish.
And then, what were some of your childhood chores you enjoyed doing? Well, I just like mostly all gardening. I like to do cook and bake, and I did a lot of babysitting. I was oldest.
Sure.
And gathering eggs, then we had to bring in water, coal, wood, all that stuff, you know, those things.
Did you have a coal vein in your area, or did you have to go and buy coal?
Yes, about.
And so it was a big truckload brought in, or a wagon load?
Wagon load, that was right.
And so then you took the coal scuttle, and got a bucket full?
Yeah, we had a small coal, one of the old wagons, you know. We kept
in brought
buckets, brought into the house. That wasn't the first one, then the house. Our house burned down in 31.
Oh,
it turned up our time. Oh, that was hard in my home.
How sad.
Yeah. And then that was in the fall of September, imagine. And then some neighbors, very kind neighbors, brought us two cook carts they used to use for thrashing. And we let one we cooked in that and one we slept in. That was cold because they were up to the end of the knee cold.
Yeah.
But then they moved the house across, when it's, the soil froze, you know, across the field from town or something. But they had bought a second-hand house.
And that was after the fields froze?
Yeah, they could get across. They could go up right across the field instead of the next one on the road.
So within several months.
Yeah, it must have been maybe end of October or November.
Okay.
Something like that. It wasn't too awfully long, but it was getting off.
What an experience. How did the fire begin?
It was a chimney shop fire, and it was a real windy day. Were in school or just as low, like what if I'm out in school? And the teacher just stared at me and I looked around and thought,
oh, okay. Did everybody run and
then she, yeah, well, she never had done it. She let all the kids run, so she did never have done.
So everybody took off.
It was all in them. She should never have let the kids go down there. Maybe us, but not the whole school, you know.
And did you form a bucket brigade to try to put it out?
No, it was too far gone.
Just had to let it burn.
And then my dad was just at the car in the garage, ready to go to town. And my brother, older brother and sister were ready to go corn husking. And they just before they left, dad came out of the garage and saw the fire out of the team. And my younger sister was 6 weeks old. Yeah.
Wow.
It was 1931, I think.
Yeah, in September.
That was an eighth grade thing, and then I already left, so I didn't get too much of the rest of the family, you know, living with them, except in the summer. But I went to Hankinson for a year, go to high school here, and then entered after that.
Okay.
So we were like boarding here.
And what year was that?
1933, so 2 years old, I think.
So 1933
already came here as the Hudson High School.
And did any of your other sisters come here?
Well, one other sister was here for a short time, but she didn't stay long. She stayed about 2 years.
Okay. Was that during the time you were here?
Yeah, when I, that was in 36 to 38. But this, you know, say 36. Yeah, 36. And I entered in 1937.
Okay, so you took your preliminary vows?
No, in 36 I entered, and in 37 I made my first vow. I took my first confirmation.
Okay.
First profession.
1939?
37.
37,
I'm sorry. 37, and then professional vow, 1940. So all of the years, yeah, I was not there at all, so I didn't see the rest of the world.
Uh-huh.
My youngest sister went, 1937, and I made my first vow. She was 4 weeks old.
Oh, my.
I was 20, so she's 20 years younger than I am.
Uh-huh. 4 weeks old.
Yeah, it became, it was old roads, or roads and that.
But they got down here.
Yeah, my grandma even came to the practice. They don't.
Oh.
Just laying on the couch. Anyway, the whole car full came down.
Uh-huh. Were they able to stay here?
Or yeah, they stayed across the... they stayed by the gas station. If there were some family, that stayed overnight.
Okay. And then that house eventually came down, and they built that gas station.
Yeah, they moved it. The house moved up, put up now.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm not telling you what's up here, though.
That's all right. So they, family came down in 1937 when you took your first vow.
That's why I'm up in 1940, then some more came down.
Uh-huh. So in 1940, another group of family came down.
They came out in 36, they came to when we first entered, but just mom and dad and flower girl. That was the first that I wanted, was baby in 31.
Okay. And then, did you have to go on to get your education?
Yeah, then in 37, after I made the first spouse, then we went to college. I went to Atchison, Kansas for a year. And then we went to Notre Dame College. That's a small college in Mitchell, South Dakota. They were both Catholic colleges, St. Scholastica in Atchison, Kansas.
St.
Scholastica. That was in Kansas, yep.
Oh, not in, okay.
And 40s, then 38 I went to Mitchell. Yeah.
And that was Mitchell, South Dakota? And what was the name of that college?
Notre Dame. It was a small college, so it wasn't a big one, I didn't hear about it. Later on, they moved to Aberdeen.
Okay.
That was after we had gone there. Then we could get our life certificate for 2 years.
Okay.
Until later on, I went back to college in Milwaukee, Alberta College.
Alberta?
Yeah. Graduated there with a BES Bachelor of Education. I think it's BES.
Bachelor's of Education and Design System.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In 1964, the event was about 20. But I went for 3 summers. I went 3 summers, and we had to go back a whole year in order to graduate there.
Oh,
and one year I made the 3 summers, and the other year was the whole year we attended up in the Milwaukee thing.
Goodness. It's a lot of schooling, isn't it?
Yeah. But then later on, we had to keep on.
And renewing.
Yeah. So that's, I don't.
And where did you teach? Where was your first teaching assignment?
I taught in St. John's Grade School College of Minnesota.
Oh.
Where they had the big university there.
Yeah.
We taught the professor's children and the workman's children.
In Collegeville?
Yes, it was a small grade school of 1-8 at that time. And then later on they went to St. Joseph's to go to high school.
Oh, okay. And how long were you there?
Just 2 years.
2 years.
Let's see, wait a minute. 1939
to 1942.
Okay. I was in all kinds of places.
Uh-huh. And do you remember where you were?
Well, it was at Matador.
Matador?
Carlsruhe.
How do you spell that?
K-A-R-L-S-R-U-H-E.
Okay, and is that far from here?
That's up in the area near town or in there.
Okay. Okay, so you're close to home.
And I guess we should move on, otherwise we're not trying.
Yeah.
Well, this is so important. We don't need to. We don't have the rest on there, but if you want, I could get here later.
Okay.
But there are some other important questions.
Yeah.
And we want to get to the intake.
Although I wrote that all out.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't do the work you were expected to do, how were you disciplined? Well, mostly, I don't recall that it was not doing the work or being disciplined for work.
That wasn't a question, huh?
I guess it was mostly if we argued or something, I guess. But I never get thanks.
Uh-huh.
At least I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
And what was it like in school? I enjoyed it. I did well with country school, 8th grade.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy high school too?
Mm-hmm. Austin High School. We're just a 4th of a mile from school, so it wasn't hard to get there. We walked right across the street.
Oh. School was close then.
Church was right next to it. It was a country church thing. But it was not a Catholic school. In what way was religion and the church an important part of your upbringing? Well, we were Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer and church service was very important, especially Sunday Mass. You know, we wouldn't miss Sunday Mass unless we would have to stay home with smaller children.
Uh-huh.
What language was church service? We were both in English and German. German, at first they were just German sermons, and then later on they had both German and English after I was gone. They switched completely to English in the 40s somewhere. I wasn't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How did the parents feel about the change? Well, they accepted it because they were used to, there were Norwegians neighbors, have a neighborhood of all Norwegians, and my dad was good friends with them, and they could talk to him pretty much, or English pretty much. But at baptism and confirmation, it means a very important part of my life.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to write it all down, I can't get used to that. But on the back here, this has nothing to do with what we did.
Okay.
I don't know where the comic got. This is just the courage of, but she's not a German writer.
Okay.
That must be what she wrote sometime when she was across, and she was from.
Okay.
She were from Czechoslovakia.
Oh, okay.
Were the parents or grandparents involved in founding, in joining another church? No. Would you frame your certificates framed? We had them, but we couldn't afford to have them framed.
Uh huh. They were kept.
Yeah.
They were on the wall.
Well, how did your family deal with death? They accepted it as God's will. There was much grief, but then they knew that what
I've seen some pictures of funerals, you know, people, the coffin was open and
yeah, some people
stood around. Was that a tradition of your family?
We didn't. Yeah. Early days they had them in the home, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then my grandfather.
Uh-huh.
My grandmother wasn't home, I was teaching myself.
Uh-huh.
And are you familiar with the wrought iron crosses as grave markers?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but our family didn't have any, but there were many in the cemetery where we were. We had the wooden crosses, and then later on my dad made cement crosses.
Okay. Interesting.
The objects of sentimental value. Well, my grandmother was, my father's family wasn't here. My grandmother was staying with her youngest son and daughter at the time, for some time, and so they got all the beautiful leftovers.
Okay.
So we didn't really do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about Basin Eagle or Chris Kindle? Yeah, we at Christmas. Or do you remember some of the Christmases during the wars or the Depression? Well, that's the only ones that, well, there was mostly war or Depression when I grew up. There was something, but not that much.
But they
grew up that we didn't think we were poor because everybody else was
bad. Yeah, it was just part of the deal. Did Chris Kindle ever come to your door?
Yeah, she was a lady, and later on we found out she was our Sunday, our religion instructor on Sunday, I think, after Mass was over. But anyway, and then somebody was just basically, well, somebody was going to book it here or something.
What was the name of that?
Bilsenickel. Yes, it is.
Okay. And you remember that, too?
Yeah. I think we got
you had good kids at your house, so.
Easter activities, Mass, celebration, bus food, Easter eggs, and candy. And of course, yes, outdoors we made. But during Holy Week, you know, we had special days too, you know, much like that.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't home for any of the weddings, so I can't tell you much about the weddings, except my youngest sister. Do they still serve? What kind of foods did they serve? The regular German-Russian foods, you know?
Did you make your own sausage and?
Oh yes, that's very good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my brother, one of my brothers always made some too.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, except there was to some nieces and nephews, but then that's in the later years when it was a present day kind of wedding scene.
Sure.
What kind of work did the women do outside? Milk cows, work in gardens. Making hay, shocking green bundles.
Did you have sheep?
No, cows, calves, cattle and pigs and chickens and turkeys.
And then the household work was the women's job.
And you remember special German foods, you know, well, Kuchen they had often for weddings and things and other times. Cheese dumplings, Kassien, what they call them. Home-made noodles, dump noodles. Are you German?
Mm-hmm. Norwegian?
No.
I didn't know that I love the food.
Mm-hmm. And was there music or entertainment in your home? So, not too often. When they had name day, see, when the name day was the same name that they celebrated,
right?
Mm-hmm. It was music and dance and food. And, but they often played cards like in the wintertime of the evening.
And when they had music and dance, was your family musical? Or did a neighbor come in? And
a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't. When children permitted to stay with the adults, when the company, usually the children played in another room or outdoors in the summertime season. Mm-hmm. towards dance halls?
Well, it didn't attend dance halls except at weddings or barn dances. They usually had weddings in the early days and the homes.
Okay.
I'll let you read the rest of it on here
okay.
And we go to the intercare.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
Uh-huh. For the back of any sheet, don't pay attention to that. What's on the back of any of the sheets?
Okay.
Good, that's not.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll let you
then you can
okay.
bring it to the switchboard before
okay.
you go. I'll be there at 3, but if you go before, you can just give it to the sister that's there.
Okay.
The anti-garret law. Mm-hmm. Well, you wouldn't have to write that. I'll give you this afterwards.
Okay.
So I could just...
Uh-huh.
In 1948, when the anti-garret law was passed in North Dakota, Bishop Dwalshick requested that the sisters continue teaching in public schools.
Uh-huh.
They were to wear a lace dress and continue to teach in their public schools. It was difficult to imagine today how difficult that was at the time for the sisters, especially some of the older ones, to teach without the long religious garb and the other covering it
all around. Uh-huh.
That was just, you know. We had public schools at that time on Carmel, Sal's, and Collister. The sisters usually wore their habits for mass in the morning and then sing before they went to school.
Okay.
Before we went to school and after school.
So the habit was still part of life?
Oh, yes. After breakfast we changed before going to school most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There were 3 sisters in Sal, 3 in Mount Carmel, and I think there were 3 in Baldwin.
Okay. So mostly up in the Rugby area then?
Mm-hmm. Up that area.
Okay.
The sisters discontinued to teach in Collister in 1951.
Okay.
And in Sal's and Mount Carmel, we continued until 1956.
Okay.
Some of the sisters taught in the anti-garret for 8 years. Sister Joseph, she's here. Sister Genevieve taught 8 years. I, Sister Thomas, he's not living anymore. And I, we taught for all 8 years.
So 1948 to 1956.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened?
Then we came back and we went to the other school, with Catholic school. So
okay, and so then
you
went, rather than teaching in a public school.
Yeah, we went back
to the Catholic school. Okay.
Some of the other sisters, Sister Caroline, Sister Armella, she died already too, Sister Judith, and Sister Rita, that's there. They also taught.
Uh-huh.
They were difficult years, but the people were very supportive. They
uh-huh.
they really were very faithful. They were so kind in bringing us food and things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those were years of growth in my religious life, even if you couldn't teach religion in the school or have religious articles
mm-hmm.
or pictures in the home
mm-hmm.
in the school. And I taught in Mount Carmel and South.
Okay.
Now, 4 years in Mount Carmel and 4 in South.
Mount Carmel.
First 4 grades, there was one school, the 4 grades. We're all Catholics.
Uh-huh.
Except in South, mm-hmm. or Mount Carmel, except there was one Catholic.
Uh-huh. So there were a few students that, that were Protestant. Had you been teaching in these communities prior when you were able to teach in religious garb? At Mount Carmel or
Sells? So, neither one of these, but
okay.
I was taught in Collister before.
In religious garb?
No, not in religious
garb. Uh-huh. Okay. I can imagine that it really was kind of a change, because like any time you know, have a thing that doesn't quite feel like you, you feel uncomfortable. I do.
Well, most of us changed like in 67, we changed into this kind of...
Uh-huh. 67?
Yeah.
Okay. After that,
I think. Yeah, I was teaching at Berkeley at that time, little Parsons.
Was that quite a change too?
Yeah, it was kind of...
Aaron Shawmore and
then, yeah.
Uh-huh. In the legs. Uh-huh. And then
our hair. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We didn't show our hair anything like that
uh-huh.
before.
And did the St. Francis sisters choose as a whole
the new outfit that they were going to?
So, yeah, I think we decided to do some of that together, which, I mean, kind of experimented.
So how many times over the years has your habit changed?
Well, the early years we had different kinds of veil first, when I first entered for 6 weeks.
Okay.
But otherwise, and then we had something like this. Standing on top of the room walk, but pretty much very simple. But, and during the years, let's see, I told you again, I talked after Colster, then I went to the Ende Garden on Carmel, then I was here in Oaks, then I was Lisbon 1 year, and then I was at Wapaton.
Okay.
And I was, then I was, that was, then I went back to Berkeley, that's when we came, then we went, I went to Berkeley, that's when we came.
Oh.
And I was at Holy Family in Grand Park.
Now, I know that the Sisters of Notre Dame decided for their anti-guard uniform, they were going to use Marine Corps, or no, Women's Army Corps dress, minus the, all the medals in part of the area. What kinds of clothes did you use for your anti-guard dress? Did you have a kind of a uniform, or did you...
No, we just did regular clothes.
And did you have to buy them, or
yeah,
buy them. Or maybe somebody had an extra that was your size?
Yeah, and we get them on Carmel, see, that was the fall before school started.
Uh-huh.
And they decided to put on those clothes and walk around to school. It's just a small town. Walk through the streets and then a few ladies spoke. Later on, one of the school board members mentioned that didn't know who on earth were those three ladies that were walking down the street.
Who are you? Huh? So you did get a few looks, huh?
Oh, yes, and they didn't recognize us, did they? And one time, there was a mission in church at Carmel.
Uh-huh.
And after the service, we stayed there, and we didn't have our garment, went to school, and we... the priest asked the children, you know, questions and things, and all of a sudden, saw a bright, tall girl. He asked her, who was Sister Armel? He found out it was Sister Armel.
It treated her like a schoolgirl.
Yeah, he didn't, right? Well, we were pretty young, were they?
Interesting.
Well, this, you could look at
okay.
It, whichever.
Okay.
See what else they're going to see.
Okay.
Interesting.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Bishop Dworshak, was he out of the Fargo Diocese?
He was, yes, until Bishop Driscoll came.
Okay.
His last years, he wasn't too good, I think. Alzheimer's or something like that.
Oh.
Then put the family marriage and all that, I didn't... I wasn't...
Yeah, they filled that out, that's fine.
Uh-huh. How did your family get along with people that weren't German Russian?
Well,
fairly well.
Yeah.
My father always had great respect for other people and for their religions.
Uh-huh.
Indians or anything. Jewish salesman came around there selling Watkins products or something like that. Or clothes. Sometimes they were selling suits and things, you know, and they were just always talk until you finally accept something, but you didn't always buy something.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And so so there was a Jewish trader that came.
Yeah, they came around. The Wapaton and I came around.
Yeah.
Things like that. So
what, do you remember the Jewish man's name?
No, I
remember
pretty well. Uh-huh. And those people that didn't know English and wanted to learn it, they had night school, see?
Yeah.
My father went to night school. I remember I was in the first grade, I remember he used to go in the evenings, and the regular school teacher was teaching the night school.
Oh, cool.
And, I had a good teacher. He later became the county superintendent of Pierce College. The first grade.
Is that right?
Joe B. Moore, I don't know, you probably haven't heard that name. If you look at the records in Pierce County. Toby Waller was the county superintendent.
Toby Waller?
Mm-hmm. And Lily Hunter was there. She was the deputy, and she later on became the county superintendent for years and years and years. Mrs. Carson was her name later. She got married the next later year. But anyway, they at school stayed in the evening, and one night after they came home, at school was after they had had a
after they had night school?
Yeah. And I said, oh, Mother Pitt was burnt.
Oh no.
And he went to the neighbor's Lois at Toby Waller's and a Utah, a big one. So they had a special fire where they did sell the news.
Yeah.
And then they were allowed to use it for school, for the rest of the school year.
Oh.
That was, well, must have been middle of winter. That's right.
And so you're able to go into the their house.
Yeah, and they had the back door where we could come in. We had to go to the track to the whole house.
Was that in
school there. Up there in the where we first lived in.
Yeah. Was the bee broken? No.
Near Berwick.
Berwick?
Yeah,
near Berwick. Okay. Is Berwick still standing? Is it still
standing? There are a few buildings there, but that's about it. I don't know if there's anything else there except
it's
old school still there, but there's nothing going on.
Uh-huh.
I think it's actually in the bar. Usually the last thing that
goes. Yeah, isn't that the truth? Or the elevator.